Welcome to Technology and the Arts, a bi-weekly podcast exploring the connections between the worlds of technology and art. In this installment, we'll share some interesting news, websites, and online resources we've come across recently, including enhancements to TiVo, the TechZilla podcast, the Netflix set-top box developed by Roku, and a Picasa web album update. Plus, we'll discuss an RIAA setback and some digital music royalty decisions involving Pandora and iTunes. We'll talk about all of this and more just ahead on Technology and the Arts for Wednesday, October 8th, 2008. Now, here are your hosts, Brian Kelly and John Lemazny.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of Technology and the Arts Podcast. As always, Technology and the Arts seeks to explore the connections between technology and art and to establish a forum for discussing the impact technology has made on the human creative process and on literature, music, and the visual and interactive arts.
And to let you know who we are, my name is Brian Kelly. I'm a journalist by trade, amateur songwriter, musician, and science and technology enthusiast living in central New Jersey.
And my name is John Lemazny. I'm a husband, father, artist, designer, student, manager, musician, poet, speaker, consultant, technologist, beer sommelier, and open source evangelist living and working in New Jersey.
Somehow that got longer. John and I are recording this podcast via call recorder for Skype. John, it's good to have you back after a week away from the program. Knowing what I know about what you've experienced the past few days, I'm almost afraid to ask, but how are you doing?
I've been better, Brian.
Anything you'd like to talk about, John?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things I'd like to talk about, and I think I'll start at the bottom of this list and work my way up. First of all, there's going to be one of my favorite conferences coming up in Florida at the end of this month. Called EduCause. It's really a consortium of schools, I guess an organization that is schools that come together to talk about various technologies applied to education. Also, I last week took maybe my third trip by plane anywhere to a place called Somerton, Kentucky, and we went there to go visit a third-party help desk solution called Presidium that Rider University is partnering with in order to provide 24/7 help desk services. Kentucky was beautiful. Somerset, in case I said something different before, it was Somerset.
I believe you said Somerton, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's Somerset. And really, just a very beautiful place and one of the few places left in the world probably where people leave their doors unlocked at night. I'm continuing classes at Rider. I have two really fantastic classes right now, one of which is my organizational research class, which I'm really getting a lot out of. Thank you very much to my professor, Liza. She's really inspiring, and I'm having a lot of fun in my other classes as well. And finally, I wanted to say that I visited the Bella Vista Beverage Grand Reopening on Sunday. That is the 5th of October, 2008. And it was a fantastic event. What it was essentially that one of the premier beer distributors in the city of Philadelphia, Bella Vista, which is located at 11th and Catherine in South Philadelphia, had a grand reopening where essentially they moved across the street to a larger facility. And as part of the celebration, as a part of this grand reopening, they had some of the finest, most unique, most special breweries come and let everybody sample what they had to sample. And so, for example, one of the things that was special there was they had a firkin, which apparently is a storage container, a specialized storage container, a barrel, of a brew by Ballast Point at 10% ABV called Sculpin, which was just hoppy and amazing, and one of my favorite experiences as a beer sommelier. I'm not actually a sommelier, but I'm trying to achieve that sort of level of understanding of beer. And going to an event like that really lets you appreciate the finer tastes in great beer. So the event started around 12. I think I was there just at about 5 past 12, and the event was over at 5. And around 4:30, I was done. And I went into the inside of the building to go and get some of their fantastic selection of brews in case form, made some purchases, and brought them back to my car, which was not too far away. It's a 2005 silver minivan, a Toyota Sienna with New Jersey plates. And I was parked at 13th and Catherine, right down the street from this beverage distribution facility. And found the car, put the cases in my car, and somebody must have been watching, because I decided to go back to the event just to get another quick bite to eat. I was completely done sampling. I felt perfectly fine, but I was a little bit hungry, so I decided to go back and just have, you know, they had some really great vegetarian sandwiches and things. So went back, and probably a few minutes after that, I decided to go back to the spot where my vehicle was, and for some reason, I got lost. I took the wrong direction, went by a different way, figured it would be very easy to find, and went way out of my way. And walked around and around, not really knowing where I was. And by the time I found my spot where I had parked, where I dropped off my car and just recently put some things that I had purchased at Bella Vista in the back, there was a space where my car was. And so, you know, after the initial shock of realizing that my car was gone, I called my wife, who decided to calm me down and tell me to call the police. I called the police. They came. They did a local tow check just to make sure that it hadn't been towed, and that they verified that where I'd parked was not an illegal space. And I'm now, a couple days later, just sort of coming to grips with the fact that I may never see that car again.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah, and you know, it says something about humanity. It really does. And I have faith in humanity for the most part, but things like this really shake that faith. And all I can say to it is, if you live in the greater Philadelphia area, please let us know at technology.arts@gmail.com or lemazny@gmail.com for that matter. If anybody happens to see a 2005 Toyota Sienna with New Jersey plates anywhere in any state.
Wow. Yeah, at this point, those plates are probably long gone, but...
Yeah. So, that was the big event for me this weekend. How about you, Brian?
Oh, man, that is so unfortunate. I feel bad for you, man.
Well, there's really a worse part to it. Basically, I brought my son with me to the event.
Oh.
And so, I mean, we were essentially stranded in South Philly in the dark by the time, you know, the cops finally came and the report was taken and all that. And I had to bother my sister to come and get me. She happens to live in the Philadelphia area. She came and got me and had to drive me back to a suburb in Pennsylvania where I could pick up another car so that I could take that home so I'd have something to drive. Luckily, there was a car available because my father passed away. For those of you who listen to the podcast, my father's car was still luckily around and available. Nobody's driving it and nobody would miss it. And so, you know, it's insured. Everything was fine with it. So now, right now, I'm driving around my father's car until we determine either that the car was indeed stolen and is gone forever, or that I just somehow misplaced the car, which, I mean, in a city like Philadelphia, I guess is possible. But I just can't get over the fact that this car is gone. So it's been an amazing couple of days, and not in a good way. But, there's not too many shoulders I have to cry on, so, you know, I'll cry on Brian's and yours.
It's too bad LoJack wasn't a sponsor of the podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, now I have to say that when I get a vehicle back, I am definitely, definitely going to put something like LoJack on it, or get a GPS event or a device or something, you know, because nobody should have to go through this. I should know exactly where my car is right now. It's disgusting. And in this new culture and environment of people down on their luck, average everyday people who really can't afford to live in America, and I'm not talking about somebody who was poor 6 months ago, I'm talking about the new poor, the nouveau poor. This is going to be more and more of an epidemic. I mean, people are going back to taking scrap out of houses. If they see an easy mark in somebody from New Jersey, you know, driving to Philly, not really knowing where they are, they're going to take his car and his beer, for that matter.
So yeah, you're right.
Enough about me, Brian. How about you?
Well, I have just been super busy at work these days. We have our annual conference and expo coming up October 18th. And the organization I work for is also currently fighting some legislation that's currently in the New Jersey State Senate. So it's been a little crazy. And then on top of that, on top of the craziness at work, I've been very distracted by my Philadelphia Phillies reaching the National League Championship Series for the first time since 1993.
Congratulations.
Oh, I didn't really do anything, but yeah, congratulations to the Phillies.
You cheered them on, Brian. You cheered them on.
Well, actually, I was at Game 2 of the NL Division Series in Philly against the Brewers, and it was awesome. The fans were great. I'm hoping to somehow get lucky and get a ticket for one of the upcoming NLCS games in Philly, but right now I got nothing, so. But if I do go, I will be on the lookout for a Toyota Sienna minivan.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
With some beer in the backseat. But,
well, not anymore, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. No, well, I'll look for them drinking it in the parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, I just want to congratulate the Fightin' Phils once again, and hope they can go all the way this year. And if that wasn't enough distraction, I'm driving my girlfriend Allison nuts with this extended baseball season. And what's making it worse is that I'm going to be moving in with her in a couple of weeks. So we've been busy painting and getting what will be my room ready. So unfortunately, it seems like her cat will never be ready for me because she's just not very friendly. But she's just going to have to deal with it. And finally, I just want to plug a few of my friend Christian Beach's upcoming shows. He is performing at Triumph Brew Pub in Princeton, New Jersey on October 23rd.
Yay!
And Triumph in Philadelphia on October 29th. But keep in mind that the Phillies may very well be playing on the road in Game 6 of the World Series that night, so it might be a wild night to be in Philly, which is kind of what I'm hoping for. Although, I don't know if he was kidding or not, but Christian's father was, you know, said, you know, we should probably cancel that gig if the Phillies in the World Series, but.
Yeah, that would probably, well, I don't know, maybe he could celebrate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool to be in the city if they do get that far and, you know, and it's a chance to win, that would be kind of cool.
Yep.
But anyway, to learn more about Christian Beach, check out www.myspace.com/Christian Beach. And just want to let you know that Christian will have a CD available soon, and it would help if I get the cover art to him, but that's just about done. In fact, I'll be wrapping that up right after we're done recording this podcast. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm doing the cover art for him. And,
man, you are just a renaissance man.
Yeah, I'm trying. But now, John, is there anything related to technology and the arts you'd like to discuss this week?
Certainly. One of the most exciting things to me right now is the G1, the new phone that is the first physical rendition of Google's open source phone technology known as Android. And it is being sponsored and developed by, the name escapes me.
It's T-Mobile.
T-Mobile, thank you very much. And it looks like it's just a brilliant phone. I mean, it seems to do all of what the iPhone 3G does. And then on top of that, has not only touch screen capability, but also a built-in keyboard, and just generally is more open, which to somebody like me, and I'm sure to somebody like Brian, is a much more friendly phone, something that's much more attractive.
Right. I did bring up the G1 in the last podcast, but I was hoping that you would bring more.
Yeah, I really hadn't had a chance to look at it very seriously, but in the past week or so, more or less spurred on by Brian, I had a chance to really investigate it, and the applications, seem to rival or surpass the things that are going on in the App Store, and seem to be much more related to open source technologies. And so for me, it's just a no-brainer. You know, why would I want to go to a closed proprietary technology like the iPhone, despite its beauty, if the openness is there in another system?
Right.
Not to say that there isn't open source going on in some of the things in the iPhone, but the iPhone itself is just a locked-down phone.
Right.
And just the fact that Android is so open is just a beautiful thing.
Yes, indeed.
So one of the examples that I saw in the video that I watched about the G1 is the UPS scanning capabilities of one of their applications, where, for example, you could take a product, such as a can of soda, and scan it using the camera on the phone, and then it will then in turn give you information either through Google or other services about that object, maybe through Amazon, maybe through Google, maybe through something else.
You're referring to UPC scanning, correct?
UPC scanning, thank you very much. Yes, not UPS scanning. UPS does use UPC scanning.
Right. I was going to say, you can ship right from your G1.
Yeah, we'll fix that. I'd also like to talk a little bit about when we were in Kentucky, one of the things that we had there that was very welcome was a GPS, and I've never actually spent a lot of time with a GPS system, and the system that we used was the Garmin Nuvi. I'm not sure of the model, but the Nuvi that we had there was just a beautiful little device, did everything that we really wanted it to do. It was a little bit slow on picking up the satellite vector, but it was otherwise a very nice device, and I would recommend anybody who's looking for a lower price GPS under $300 consider the Nuvi at that level. I'd also like to mention the Aluminati. It's spelled Aluminati, and that is actually a site on the Ning site. And Ning is actually a website sort of like WordPress, in the sense that it is a collection of sites for various purposes, WordPress.com, I should say. But the thing about Ning is that it goes far beyond WordPress in its social networking capabilities. So, for example, anybody can associate with the site and upload photos, upload video, upload audio, upload text, have a blog, and have not only a personal involvement in the site through their own page, but also have a social context in the site as a whole. And so Aluminati is a social network, Ning-based network, that circles around beer as a topic, fine, craft beer. And I recently joined, and it's actually the way that I found out about the Bella Vista thing. So I'd recommend anybody who's interested in craft beer to go check out Aluminati.ning.com. I'd also like to mention congratulations to Anheuser-Busch and InBev. They have finally decided to develop a Budweiser ale. And they've been developing it for a while, but they just decided to release it. And I have to say, it's just not that bad. For $6 a six-pack, it's definitely better than the crap that they have been selling for all this long time. But on the other end of the spectrum, there is this company called Avery that makes really fine brews. And two of my favorites that I've tried recently are the Maharaja or Maharasha, and the other one is called Salvation. Maharaja is the IPA style, or Imperial, an India Pale Ale Imperial style, and Salvation is a Belgian style golden ale. The IPA is very, very hoppy and a bit bitter, a bit acrid on the tongue in the best possible way. And Salvation is much more fruity, much more spicy, and definitely more of a dessert-oriented brew. But they are both pretty high in alcohol, so take sips, not gulps. I also wanted to mention the debates. And, of course, we're missing, on our Tuesday night recording, we are missing the debates. I guess they're probably over by now.
Yeah, I haven't checked, but I think they are.
Yeah, so I'm always looking forward to watching them in the day after, you know, event on YouTube. But I did catch some of it earlier tonight, and I have to say that I'm not entirely impressed with the debate so far. And is there another one scheduled?
I believe there is supposed to be a third presidential debate. There's, you know, obviously there was the vice presidential debate.
Yeah, the vice presidential debate, I mean, honestly, I don't think there was any contest there. You know, I felt kind of bad, honestly, for the mayor of Alaska. So,
governor of Alaska.
Yeah, she's a governor, sure. You betcha. I also wanted to talk
about Maverick.
I also wanted to talk about TiVo and the fact that they have greatly improved their downloadable podcast selection. And for those of you who are TiVo users and are aware of the podcast download capability, I want you to go check out a Revision 3 joint called Tekzilla, T-E-K-Z-I-L-L-A, which for fans of Tech TV, now known as G4, you may remember a little show called The Screensavers, on which Patrick Norton played a major role. And for fans of Patrick, you'll be happy to know that he is alive and well in podcast land on a tech show called Techzilla. So go and check it out. I'd also like to talk about Netflix and Roku. Have we talked about Roku before, Brian?
Possibly, but if we did, not in any great detail.
Okay, well, I just want to give a nod to Netflix and their set-top box developed by Roku. What this is Netflix allows you for, I believe, any level of membership to download and watch shows in real time on your computer right now. The thing is that if you're sitting in front of your TV, you're not sitting in front of your computer. And so, you know, there's a difference in that experience. And Netflix knows this and decided to develop with Roku a set-top device that will allow you to connect to Netflix and download those shows instead to your television in a queue just like your DVD queue, right alongside your DVD queue. As a matter of fact, you can watch as many shows as you want on the Roku device, and it will not affect your queue. Your DVDs will still show up regularly. But you can, while you're waiting for the DVDs to come through the mail, you can go turn on your Roku and watch as many episodes as you want of any of the shows that are available or movies that are available on Netflix for watch instantly, which is not their full collection of DVDs. It is a much more limited set of DVDs. I'd like to give a shout out to Picasa, which is Google's image cataloging tool. They just came out with a beta for their third revision of Picasa, and they also have a related online site that talks with your local desktop Picasa install and allows you, for instance, to do things like modify photos on your local machine and within one click update what's going on the website. So you can synchronize basically everything that you have on your desktop with your remote Picasa web albums. And if you update names, if you update the way that the photo looks, if you update anything, and then synchronize those with a single click, your web albums will be updated practically instantaneously. Picasa really has it going on. If you don't know anything about it and you really use images on any regular basis, go check it out. You'll love it. And finally, on my plane trip back from Kentucky, I was looking through the online magazine, in-flight magazine, and one thing I came across was a company called Neat Technology that's focusing on something I think has been overlooked for a very long time, and it is a simplified card scanning and receipt scanning and paper scanning tool that basically just scans things in, very simply OCRs them, saves them as either a doc or an RTF or a PDF, and really focuses on simplicity rather than complexity. And for me, typically I'd sometimes look for complexity over simplicity, but when we're talking about business cards or we're talking about receipts, I just want it recorded, and I want to get rid of the paper. So Neat Technology seems like they're really getting to the heart of the matter, and from what I see, they're starting to take a little bit of that market share. I think there were some other companies that are doing the same things, like card scan technologies, but Neat seems to be doing just the right mix of brand and advertising to really get the word out about this technology. How about you, Brian?
Well, a lot happened with digital music royalties in the past couple weeks, so want to get to that, but first, in sort of related news regarding digital music, a federal judge recently dealt the Recording Industry Association of America, better known as the RIAA, and record labels a setback by throwing out a $222,000 verdict against a mother who was convicted of illegally sharing music over the internet. U.S. District of Minnesota Chief Judge Michael Davis ordered a new trial for Jamie Thomas, saying the jury's punishment was unprecedented and oppressive. Davis said that the term distribution does not apply to simply making music available on a file-sharing network. It requires actual dissemination, he said. Of course, the RIAA intends to try the case again because it wants to waste more money on worthless lawsuits against ordinary citizens rather than researching new ways to make money in today's digital culture. Brilliant. If you want to read more, visit the link in the show notes to read the complete Information Week article. Next, in the last podcast, I mentioned that the Digital Media Association announced a new agreement with organizations representing musicians and songwriters that will provide a streamlined licensing procedure for many models of digital music distribution. However, the deal did not address the royalty rates being imposed upon Pandora and other internet radio services. And a Pandora spokesperson said the company was hopeful the deal would open the door to a compromise on the escalating royalty rates facing webcasters. Well, apparently that was indeed the case. SoundExchange and the webcasters are so close to a deal on the royalty rates that both houses of Congress recently passed a bill that would allow the two sides to continue negotiations while Congress is out of session. And whatever agreement on webcasting royalties is reached will be legally binding until Congress officially approves it when it comes back into session. So it looks like Pandora and other webcasters have been saved from extinction, although the National Association of Broadcasters, NAB, representing the terrestrial radio industry, i.e. Clear Channel, tried to swoop in at the last minute and lobby against the bill in order to kill webcasting. But fans of webcasters rallied once again to thwart NAB's efforts, and the bill was passed. So it looks like webcasting is in good shape. So follow the links in the show notes to some Pandora blog posts and other articles to learn more about this story. Finally, iTunes and other music download services were also faced with the prospect of increasing royalty rates that had Apple threatening to shut down the iTunes Music Store. But the Copyright Royalty Board decided to maintain the mechanical royalty rate for songwriters and publishers at 9.1 cents per unit for physical products such as CDs, as well as music downloads, after speculation that the rate could be increased to as high as 15 cents. And at that point, Apple was like, if these are going to be the royalty rates, we're shutting down the iTunes store because, you know, we don't make money on this as it is. We're not going to operate it at a loss. So iTunes is safe, music download safe, Pandora is safe. So it looks like digital music outlets are in a good position right now for at least the next few years. So for more on the iTunes story, click on the link in the show notes for an article from Ars Technica. But now it's time for the Technology and the Arts events calendar. Here is your Technology and the Arts events calendar. The Experience Music Project and Science Fiction Museum and Hall of Fame in Seattle, Washington, presents Robots, a designer's collection of miniature mechanical marvels, running now through October 26, 2008. This exhibition celebrates the long fascination with humankind's technological version of itself. Inspired by antique tin and wooden toys, samurai warriors, and mid-20th century Japanese film characters, these intricately detailed and beautifully designed miniatures are set against the venue's backdrop of life-size robots, androids, and cyborgs from the world of science fiction, film, and television. For more information, visit www.epmsfm.org. An exhibition titled Just In, Recent Acquisitions from the Collection, takes place at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City, now through November 30th, 2008. This installation draws from acquisitions made over the past 2 years by the Department of Architecture and Design, many on display for the first time. The selection represents the diversity found in contemporary design practice with a focus on the latest innovations in architectural, industrial, and graphic design. For more information, visit www.moma.org. To stay informed about these and other events related to technology and the arts, please remember to check out the Technology and the Arts events page at techarts.wordpress.com. Well, it looks like we are just about at the end of another Technology in the Arts podcast. John, is there anything you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, as always, I'd like to say to our listeners that if they have an idea for a story or know about a show or event related to technology and or art, let us know about it by emailing us at technology.arts@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send an email just to say hi. And you're always welcome to leave a comment on the Technology in the Arts blog at techarts.wordpress.com.
And also, as John mentioned before, if anybody sees a silver Toyota Sienna, which may have jersey plates on it in the South Philadelphia area, send us an email, technology.arts@gmail.com.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, you're welcome. Closes the curtain on another Technology in the Arts podcast. Stay tuned for our next show on Wednesday, October 22nd, 2008. Until then, for Technology in the Arts, this is Brian Kelly.
And this is John Lemazny. Take care and don't steal.
The views expressed by the hosts of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily those of guests of the program. Conversely, thoughts and opinions expressed by guests of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily shared by the hosts. For more information about the podcast you have just heard, please visit Technology and the Arts on the web at techarts.wordpress.com.